What's up and welcome to Sweathead with Mark Pollard. Today I have Mayur Holla, who's in Delhi in India. Mayur is SVP, Global Head of Brand at Oyo. O-Y-O. Oyo is cleaning up in various awards situations. I recently saw Oyo take out a bunch of awards at the Jay Chiat Awards in New York. And today we're going to talk about why on earth this campaign is winning so many awards. But first of all, Mayur, I want to start off with this question. You have worked at McCann Erickson. You were National Creative Director at Havas. And then you moved brandside. Why on earth would you do that?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. I would probably point out my time at Contract, which is a WPP agency, right after McCann, as a matter of fact, and before Havas, as sort of a turning point for me. I worked on Domino's like for about 5 years. And I sort of got under the skin of that business big time. I understood what it to make sure same-store growth happened month on month. I understood product tastings and innovations. I understood the make line and what could happen on it and couldn't. So if you really think about it, I understood the nuts and bolts of that business. And thereafter, I remember just before I exited, we had a new CMO come in on the client side. And there was really no one else to induct him but me, because I knew most about what was going on and had gone on over the last half a decade in that business, and not just on that brand. And I pretty much knew at that point that I would just shift to the brand side, because I loved getting to know a business and getting under the skin of its consumers. I think I've just really wanted to have a transformative impact on a business. It's theoretical, but I think we want to leave a part of ourselves onto something we work on, call it legacy or whatever else.
Could be a bruise. You were saying earlier that you play soccer, and I guess there's that phrase, you leave something on someone, which means you kick them a little hard. So that's what you wanted to do to Oyo.
I did. And Oyo is just so broken. It was the perfect opportunity. I love chaotic, broken places. I've been in them for 20 years in advertising. So yeah, it was perfect.
All right. Hold that thought. We'll come to Oyo in a second. That's a pretty big shift, because a lot of people enjoy growing up and staying in advertising for all its flaws, because you get this constant hit of novelty, constant variety. But it sounds like through that half decade working on Domino's that you started to wean yourself off that impulsive novelty seeking, variety seeking mentality. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's interesting to moonlight your way through various brands, because that's really what you're doing, right? You know, someone arrives at the product, the pricing, the positioning, pretty much, and then you're left with the facile task of strategizing whatever little is left and showing up with a pitch deck or a campaign deck and hoping like hell you've got it right, whereupon you sent right back on your heels and you land on your ass and you're right back there and thinking of it all over again, and back you go again until you serendipity or talent or both or luck or whatever just helps you get to the end point of that project. And really, that I just found the whole exercise really facile. I started hating the process of pitches. In fact, for me, it just had to happen this way. And when we go into Oyo, we can talk about the variety that offers. But yeah, I think the facile nature of the work I felt I was doing drove me out.
I want to dig into this a little bit more, because when we make these big changes, and it is a big change for someone who's spent a couple of decades in advertising to shift client side, you've got to be nervous about it. Obviously, we're surrounded by stories of the industry not keeping people on after the age of 40, 45. And I'm not trying to be scary or anything, right? So a lot of people go through this, because around that age, a lot of people might have children. They might also have parents or grandparents that are dependent on them as well. So it's quite a lot of stress around the 40s and 50s, typically speaking. What else were you running from before we talk about what you were running to? Talked about pitches, for example. What else?
I'm a defense kid. What that means is my dad was in the Indian Air Force. So I don't think I need to worry about them. They still worry about me. I live on the floor above them. They live below me. I still am around my folks. My daughter is the most spoiled grandchild on the face of the planet, because my folks are right here and my wife's folks are about, if I throw a stone, I'll probably hit their house. Right? So we're that close. I think for me, more than running away, I think it was more running to. My wife is a career marketer as well. She heads marketing for Dell over here. She's one of the biggest influences on me in terms of making this transition, because I think she saw more in me than perhaps I did. And she constantly has helped me evolve to being who I am today.
So let's talk about Oyo and the work that you've been doing there. So how long has Oyo been around? It's been a little bit over a decade, or around a decade, right?
That's right. 2013 is when Ritesh, 19-year-old Ritesh, got it going.
19. Which city was Oyo founded in?
Oyo was founded right here in Delhi, NCR, which is National Capital Region. So in the suburbs of Delhi, you could say.
What's the population of Delhi? Sorry, I love populations and maps.
20 million.
We had to look that up, by the way. We had to edit out a whole chunk of this interview, but we're going to keep this part in. 20 million people. It's massive, right? And there's so much stuff happening up there. So many different cultures in India, different, you know, there's a caste system. You've got China rubbing on the door. It's just crazy. India's not crazy, but there's just so much going on that it kind of blows my mind. I'm crazy. That's what I'm talking about.
No, India's crazy too. We're all crazy.
You said that, not me. So Oyo launches, and what did it launch as in 2013?
Ritesh, as he calls it, became the second son or the only son of hotel owners who did not know how to bring their small businesses to the new millennia, so to speak. He's the one who figured out that there is no way a hotel 6 lanes off the main road in a residential area is ever going to be able to grow demand. There is just no way they can do that. And we always talk about Oyo from the patron side, the patrons being our hotel owners as opposed to our customers. Our customers are our customers, our hotel owners are our patrons, because that's a whole different set who we also sell to. It's almost like we're like Shopify on one side and we're like Airbnb on the other side.
Can I make a really quick point there? Because whenever you start working with a new brand, I'm talking to the strategist here, it can take a minute to work out what people mean by the word consumer versus customer versus whatnot, right? So that's right. Really interesting. So the hoteliers are your patrons. The customer was the person buying a room through Oyo.
Absolutely. And the way Oyo started, to answer your question directly, was to service the needs of the patron, to drive demand there. And a very important subset of that is, of course, the demand aspect of it, where the customer comes in. And this is at a time where the hospitality industry is divided into two big halves, right? The star-rated hotels, the 3, 4, 5-star-rated hotels, the brands, as it were. Now, there's only so many rooms those property has. They're mainly located in the larger cities, and not everyone can afford it in a country as vast as this. Even in a city as vast as this, leave alone the country, right? On the other side is the completely broken small, medium hotel segment, right? It is not branded. It is scattered everywhere from highways to suburbs to tourist areas, indeed, to pilgrimage areas, etc. What Ritesh did is basically brought them on the online map, as it were. When a property comes onto Oyo, not only does it get listed on the Oyo platform, we take full ownership of the experience. We take full inventory from that hotel. It also gets listed on 30 OTAs. Which is online travel agents like BookingHotel.com, MakeMyTrip in India, Ixigo, and so many others, right? Kayaks of the world, as it were. And indeed, they get an operating system, which is at par with any operating system that any hotel in the world would need to run its business.
In addition
to which, they also get, of course, a Koyo app, which they use to buy SaaS products from Oyo.
So are these hotels family-owned, or could they also be chains? Is it a variety of ownership structures?
There is any number of ownership structures that you can imagine. Some of them are family owned, wherein this is the main business of the family. Some of them are people who used to be running a hotel who decided that there's money to be made here and start off on their own in the whole entrepreneur spirit, which is running through the subcontinent and indeed the world right now. And others could be owned by large businessmen and indeed film stars for that matter, who have this running on the side while they go about all the other businesses that they manage.
And then how did Oyo go about getting the patrons, the hotels on board? Was that literally walking the streets and signing people up physically while being in their premises?
You'd be amazed. Yes, the BD department, so to speak, the supply. We used to call them supply at one time, Mark, before we came in and we said, there's no way you can call them supply. They're patrons. You're selling to them just as you're selling to your guests on the other side. So supply was a huge department full of BDs and indeed city heads and so on, the whole shebang. That was just a huge function that was literally going on foot. Yes. Two hotels, assessing them. Thereafter, of course, using something called Krypton, which is a system that we use to onboard hotels. Today, of course, we've evolved now to launching what is called Oyo 360, which is an online platform where if you have all your details at hand, you can basically onboard your hotel in about 30 minutes flat in the time it takes to get a pizza, pretty much.
I want to ask you some questions to do with numbers, but the thing is, any aggregate numbers you give me for a country so big might not be useful. I wanted to ask, like, back in 2013 for these kinds of hotels, average length of stay, what might it have been? Is it a night? Is it a week?
It would not be a week. It would be more a night or two. And it continues to be that, frankly. Because if you think about who would stay in places like these, I think the answer comes from, you know, small businesses, a lot of young people who would otherwise have been hanging out outside. It is a pretty traditional country. So they were obviously some of the early adopters for Oyo were these two segments, and they continue to be our strongest segments. And if you just analyze those two, you'll know that the stay length would be a day tops, if that.
You also mentioned pilgrimages, which is obviously a big part of people moving around India. Could you describe the market of pilgrimages to us?
Pilgrims and the Christian world and every other religion knows them well. People go to places to worship, to temples or sites, etc. It is even more so in India. And it's almost that, I don't think we've encouraged that, but I think we've discovered that places where people flock naturally tend to find a lot of OYOs sprouting up. We find a lot of small hotels sprouting up over there for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are looking for value for money stays, which are not going to be for any length of time other than a day, two tops. So okay. It just seems to make logical sense that a lot of OYOs spring up around pilgrim sites.
And then maybe final question about numbers until we actually talk about the award-winning campaign that I think a lot of people will find out about if they haven't found out about it already. Two questions to do with numbers. One is the hotels that you work with, how do you measure effectiveness? You know, do they generally show a certain uplift of in revenue, cost down? You know, how do you tell the story about the way you help their businesses through numbers?
Occupancy, number one. Without occupancy, there is nothing else. Occupancy, RevPAR, which is the revenue per occupied room, I think, and ARR, which is average room rate, which is more a network level metric that we follow. And it's more specific to us, but it applies to the business as well, right? But I think revenue and, occupancy and RevPAR are the two main things that would be applicable to each and every single hotel.
Right. And do you have like third-party data that you're able to compare all your patrons' businesses to show that being with you is better for them?
Absolutely. Look, in this case, we're pretty much ubiquitous for stays in this segment already. The supply density is so high for OYO that there's OYO, then there's thin air, then there's the stratosphere, and then maybe there's next best, so to speak, or numerous. So are we able to tell them on a second-to-second basis as to what the room rent might be for competition? Yes. Are they able to judge their progress with us? Absolutely. They have an app that helps them do all of that. They have an app that helps them set pricing. There's an algo which helps them with pricing that is ideal to be set in any area, dependent on what pricing around them is. And as such, that pretty much helps them with growing demand and indeed growing their business. In addition to which, you always have marquee owners, so to speak, and every business has that. Someone who's gone from one hotel to 9 hotels in just 3 years tops. So you're always feeding them with that information as well to keep them going, so to speak.
Okay. How many hotels?
Give or take 10,000 and counting. It's a high churn business, but we try and maintain it at 10K.
And at one point, maybe now, third most valuable Indian startup and third most downloaded travel app in the world.
Yeah, as per App Annie. That was in the year 2019 and 2020, if I'm not wrong. Both are absolutely true, yes.
Very cool. Let's talk about this campaign. First of all, let's start at the end. Why is it winning so many awards?
I think the understanding of the tangential, almost tangential understanding of the country and applying it to what otherwise is a pretty traditional business model, right? You know, people travel, they stay in hotels. You're either going for work or you're going for pleasure. It's really that simple, isn't it? And pleasure in terms of hotels is usually defined as travel tourism. I mean, you might be going to visit your folks in another state and you might need to stay over there for a bit. But really, that's a pretty isolated use case, right? Just the juxtaposition of these two things and the whole aspect of progress, those three might be the dots that are joining for people. Yeah. I mean, the easy thing with a hotel room would be to talk about travel, to talk about going to see places, etc. But to talk about progress with it, which is very, very true for India, if you really understand what's going on here. I think that's probably the reason.
So we'll dig into the case study itself and how the thinking came to be. But at the Jay Chide Awards, which were recently held in New York, you got a gold in the national category and for the brand pivot category, a silver for regional and then a Grand Prix. It's quite a lot of award winning. One of the most awarded campaigns, I think. There are probably two or three that might have had three or four awards as well. Are you entering it in other award shows?
We put it in work. We got a silver at work for it. Probably going to the Effies with it. We don't enter a lot of awards. It's a lot of work to put the whole case together, to be honest. But yeah, I think the marketing effectiveness awards, certainly the big ones for us would be work, Jishayat and the Effies. And we'd be in there.
Well, why enter it into awards at all?
I'd step back again and talk about this consumer tech ecosystem that we work with and also OYO in particular. So I'll start with OYO. OYO's in general a pretty frugal brand to work on. Most of the spends you'd find would go into performance or into discounting, referrals, etc., right? And as such, brand usually struggles to get a big chunk of marketing budget, overall marketing budget. And whatever we do, I think it's super important for us to A, track all the metrics and prove that we were effective. And a lot of times, external validation helps in this ecosystem of all of them. The consumer tech ecosystem is all about the data and numbers. And if it is third-party validation, it's almost even better than just presenting the numbers internally. That's A. I think B, simply because of the paucity of budgets and the fact that this is a brand that's going to be listing soon, it is super important for this brand to be visible, present, and creating good perception amongst the corporate fraternity, which doesn't necessarily always have great perception about this brand. I think for us, entering into awards is also brand creation for us amongst this fraternity. I think the amount of goodwill we get out of just people noticing what we've been up to from various brands actually builds brand for us.
I think you were explicit and then also implicit with some of what you said. It sounds like it's good for you and your team for internal validation, possibly opening up more budget to do even braver things, more effective things in the future, right? I think that's what you started with, but you used different language. Then you talked about just building brand reputation in that corporate world because you're listing. What the patrons, do they care about this? Do you tell them about these awards?
Well, not really, to be honest. The patrons care about one thing and one thing only, which is demand. And if you're able to grow business for them, that's a whole different brand. If you really think about it, totally about progress. I think that's why we love it so much, to be honest, because it unites both sides of the brand. But I think they're very, very focused on their progress as opposed to any progress for the brand as such in terms of external validation.
If you spend your days trying to get into people's heads, but are interested in strategy classes, books, and events that get into your head, visit sweathead.com. You can pick up the Kickstarter-funded book, Strategy Is Your Words, by me. Find out about our monthly membership, online classes, and the company training that we do. Yes, this was an ad, a gentle, gentle ad. Back to the interview.
You talked about a lot of the attention and budget going towards performance without getting you into trouble. Has it been difficult to wrestle money, maybe not back from them or out of the business at the very least, to do brand work? What are the dynamics internally? How do you make the case?
In a very, very weird way, I think the pandemic helped. No amount of performance marketing is going to help a brand, a hospitality brand, in convincing people to step out, right? At a time where they fear for their lives. Everyone pretty quickly realized that brand is something that we need to focus a lot of our dollars on at that point. It also helped that at that point, you know, so if we had about $100 to spend, we'd probably be putting 60 or 70 on brand around that around those 2 years. I think that also helped with us finding attribution and not struggling to figure out what was due to performance and what happened to brand. Because a lot of the times, both are working together, as it should be, by the way. It was an isolated couple of years that we just had one engine running, and that was the brand engine. And as such, we were able to get attribution directly. And I think we didn't have to do a lot of work thereafter, because I think the organization pretty much realized thereafter that, hey, you know what? This works.
Finally, let's talk about the award entry, the case study. I want to understand the thinking in it. For the newer strategists out there, we all know this. I personally believe that strategy is an informed decision about how to win, and there are certain moments of imagination and decision-making that happen. And sometimes when you're presenting to a client, it can be nice to have a slide which says the 3 to 5 main decisions we're making are these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Use it early in the presentation. Mayur, what were the key 3 to 5 decisions that led to this campaign, but also give us the problem that you were trying to solve for?
I'll again step back from the case itself to the brand we inherited. Oyo is a brand, as I said, which was adopted by people. It's not a brand that was created for people.
What does that mean? I feel like that's something you could say in a marketing meeting and people would nod along, and I'd be in the corner going, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean, Maya?
It means that money was never spent on building the brand. Money was spent on acquiring customers via performance. And people equally, once they discovered, even without that, the advantage Oyo had in terms of the value it offered, which was the budget it came at, and the fact that it was accessible at a stone's throw. If I threw a stone, I'd probably hit a stone an Oyo right now. I'm not kidding. I would literally hit an Oyo right now. It's that close. There's an Oyo every 16 kilometers in India. So the density we had, the accessibility we had and have, and the value we offer in a country like India just made the brand be adopted by people. And it basically seeped into pop culture without even trying to do that. So if you hit up YouTube for Oyo, you'd find tons of content not made by Oyo. It's one of those brands which became, so memers love it. There's tons of jokes on us. A lot of young couples adopted us, for example. Now, if you think about us entering and thinking about this brand, saying, okay, who comes to our hotels? So we've got a lot of young couples going because they have nowhere else to go. This is safe. This is hygienic. It's no judgment, right? It's value for money. And we've got a lot of small, medium businesses, salesmen hitting the road who are coming to us. There is no way that a brand can and should survive on just two cohorts. It's not possible. Not a brand as widespread as we are. It's harakiri, to be honest. For sure, you have people who are extremely smart and extremely good at doubling down on what's working, but you don't double down on just two sets of people who come to you. That was the most important thing for us to even start thinking of what we could do with all of these rooms. Then, of course, came the business understanding of the fact that, you know what, we get tons, like getting hundreds and thousands of bookings every day, right? But our occupancy levels are still really low in some places, whereas they're pretty high in other places. And then you start to understand that, look, you know what? As I said, I live near a place over here, which is near the airport, right? It's a pretty dense place. It's not on the outside of Delhi, but yeah, getting there. And there are 30 OYOs in that cluster. So the guys who are on the main road, right, just on the highway, they're doing really well. You can see it. The signs are large, the hotel's large, etc. But the guys who are six lanes off, they're not, I don't even know they exist. They're not getting the same business. And the only reason they are coming to us, and more guys like them will come to us if we are able to generate business. If not, they'll just say, okay, you know what? I can just go to an OTA, as I mentioned, the online travel agent, and whatever I get out of that is fine. There's no incremental difference. There's no delta when I come to an OYO, right? When I become an OYO. Mm-hmm. So that's point number two. We had a girl in our team. She's in New Zealand now doing, she went to study more. Good on her. She was running a program we had called Inferno. Inferno was nothing but two-hour-long sessions where we just chatted with our customers. You do a lot of surveys. You have an app. You're able to get a lot of information out of those. But there's nothing like talking to your customers. So we had Anushka. Anushka is the person who was on this, just chatting with people and figuring out what their motivation was to come. And not just people in big cities, but you know, you'd find there's a lot of difference in what's happening in the bigger cities and the smaller cities in India. And she stumbled across many instances where people, for instance, you know, data tells you that couples are coming to OYO, right? What she found out with a few of the couples was they were going to OYO because they were living in houses with their parents, and indeed even more people in that house, you know, parents, the parents of parents' kids, they didn't have space to even have an argument. So they were literally booking rooms to go have a fight. She literally spoke to a couple who described that. And we were like, you know, gosh, there's so much going on with these spaces that we don't understand. And honestly, if we begin to understand that, we'll probably crack the code for what these spaces could be. So we spoke to a bunch of people to understand what they meant for them and as such, how we could position them. Kids who were going there to study, we had no idea that was happening. We didn't think a kid would ever enter a hotel, to be honest with you, right? Unsupervised without their folks. But the hotel is right next to their home.
Okay.
Because it's in a residential neighborhood.
In my mind, there's a slide coming together, and this is not for you because you know the stuff inside and out. It's for people listening. So let's do a quick recap. Okay, point one, this is not about decisions necessarily. It's about the situation. Selling a lot of rooms, but still a lot of rooms available. Point two, a hunch that maybe we have rooms available because we're only talking to audiences, couples, and salespeople, business people on the road. Point three, I think you mentioned, is wasn't enough differentiation between OYO and OTAs for a lot of people.
Yep.
And then point four is as you were talking to people who've used OYO and the hotels connected to OYO, there was this hunch, this suspicion that people were using rooms in ways that weren't expected, right? So it's those four things coming together. And then the big question that you asked yourself was what?
Why? I think the last one led us to why. Why would people be using it in such unexpected ways, right? It's a hotel room, for God's sake. Why the hell do you need to go study there? Why the hell do you need to go fight there? I think the fight really triggered us, to be honest, of all of these things. So I think that led us down the wormhole of space. I think that's when we really started thinking about they're going there because they don't have the space to fight. They're not going to go out on the main road or a park. They want a confined space. They want a private space. They want a safe space and no judgment space. And I think if I keep talking about space, that's all I'll keep repeating. I think that just went like a metronome.
Let's put it on a slide, a mental slide. So we've got those 4 points I mentioned where we're honing into the decision and the big question. The next slide, dear strategist presenting to clients says, well, why? Why is this the case? Why are people using these rooms in ways that we didn't expect? And then your next slide starts to lay out some of the decisions. Your main decision there is two words, from room to, what's for? From rooms to spaces, right?
Absolutely.
So that was the big shift to sell space rather than a room, which has certain connotations, such as you come in one, you know, in the afternoon and you sleep and then you leave, as opposed to you can come in and out based on what your needs are, right? So that's the main strategic shift. Is that correct?
and when you apply the layer of where you exist in India onto that, it all just becomes so starkly clear, right? Of course, this country needs space. Look around us. We coexist. You can't step out without stepping on someone else's toes. That's just us. We totally chill with it. We love it. But gosh, we could do with space from time to time, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it had to land on that.
Was there a creative brief? And if so, was there a single-minded proposition or a key message or a strategy statement? And if so, what were the words?
Knowing the nature of the hotels that you're speaking about, once you decide to make the shift to space, is the other thing you're also thinking of. You're not talking to out-of-towners. You're talking to people in the same city. Not just mm-hmm. the same city, pretty much the same neighborhood, to go to a hotel nearby, right? And you're not going to do it by telling them that, hey, you know what? Go chill. That's not India. That's not middle-class India. You're still a budget brand. You're a value-for-money brand. Not middle-class India. They're not stepping out to just go and catch a nap. Another interesting incident, I have a trainer who comes over to train me. We work out in the park or wherever. And this guy tells me, around the same time, coincidentally, he said, you know what? I have an early class in the morning. He wakes up really early, starts training at 5 a.m. And he said, I had the light go out. There was no electricity at my place. And I have to wake up early because I have to go to work. So what I did was I checked into the OYO nearby. They had a generator going. There was air conditioning. I could catch my sleep and I could get to work. That was the other dot that joined for me personally. That this guy is doing it because he doesn't want to miss work. He mm-hmm. cannot miss work because that means money in the till. And he needs that to keep going. India steps out. Unlike us, we can work from home, right? But most of India needs to step out because they need to keep going, because they need to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't step out, they stagnate. And I think that was the last dot that pretty much joined itself. Or whether it's progress in your relationship, especially in this country, you can only stare at each other across the classes for so long. But if you're going to take the next step, this is not a country that's going to let you do that easily. It is a pretty traditional, judgmental country still, outside of what we consider urban and sprawling metros.
If you don't step out, you stagnate. That was one of the main phrases that was part of the thinking that led to the That's campaign right. idea. Is that right?
If you don't okay, step out, cool. you stay where you are in more ways than one.
How much of the work creatively and also from a media buying point of view was done in-house versus with agencies?
So all the strat was done in-house. All the research was done in-house. The stories were handed over to, it's an agency. It's not really an agency. It's a writer's room, really. It's called the script room. It's a bunch of guys who I admired from afar while I was running an agency, and these guys were running another agency called Low. The Big Low. And they were running the Bangalore office, these guys, and they were killing it, right? I loved mm-hmm. their work. And mm-hmm. the first chance I got when I shifted over, I have to work with these guys. And coincidentally, they'd started a writer's room, as I said. And I went to mm-hmm. them with all of this stuff. They don't even need a single line brief. They're that good, to be honest. We had it, but they didn't really need it, to be honest. Here's the brilliant thing. They had their own stories about OYO because they'd used it. And I had no idea people were actually using it in the ways they had. And they took it from there. And, one of the stories, in fact, in one of the films they made was about a fight, which is among the 11 films we made. It was pretty collaborative with those guys, just because I was so keen on working with them. But the magic is all them. It's script room.
They're worth looking up, by the way. You know, in the advertising world, everyone's hoping there's some new model that pops out or yeah. a collective to join or a different way of working. And this group of people has created it. It's basically 100% writers.
Pretty much. And the Low system, at least in India, is extremely strong strategically. All of the stuff which we said, which might be considered, to be drivel by someone else, these guys just picked up on it, right? On mm-hmm. each and everything that we spoke of, including all the two-hour long conversations and what they got out of it. And they took it elsewhere from there. So that was brilliant. Their ability to work with language was another thing. India is a country where if you have that ability, it's gold, because it's almost like two or three, four, five different countries if you go across regions. And they're based in the south, completely different set of languages from where I am up in the north. They understand the nuances because they've worked across brands as I have. And I think advertising teaches you that because you work across categories and brands across geographies within the same country.
Excellent, excellent. Media planning, in-house agency.
In-house.
Probably a pretty heavy performance marketing culture there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have people who get that but also can think a little bit more creatively around communications planning?
Yeah. Whatever we might have done, including this campaign over the 3 years, again, has been because we were great partners on the performance sites. We might not have put a performance layer on this campaign, but there have been other campaigns where we worked with the growth team, as we call it, and they've actually taken brand creatives, so to speak, in quotes, and run them for performance from app downloads to retargeting. And it's worked brilliantly for them. And I think it's been transformative for this organization, the whole collaborative culture that's come about between these two teams.
You mentioned 11 films. Curious to hear about channel selection, formats. Did you just do 11 films? Did you do stunts? Did you work with a PR team? Did you do events?
I wish I had the budget to do all of that. No, it was 11 films, all digital, all run. The great thing was with the multilingual nature of them, we could just target them very specifically for contexts and geographies. There were, I think, 6 or 7 different languages spread across those 7 films. And they weren't just like translated in them. They were written and thought in those languages. You know, it's like if you wrote in a film in a language you totally get, it'll be very different from a film you're sort of transcreating. That was what was beautiful about them. And that's why I think that they did work.
Wonderful. Tell us about the numbers. What numbers can you share with us?
We went from 30% occupancy averaging in 2019, give or take, early 2019, to 80% occupancy end of 2020. Because we consistently went after this campaign across 2 years. We didn't just run it for 1 month or 2 months. We were releasing these films every 2 months. So 80% occupancy in neighborhood hotels by the end of 2020.
Were you able to somehow measure the use case of the rooms?
Absolutely.
You were? Okay. How'd you do that? Did people tell you that voluntarily? Did you spy on them?
In our app, we basically ask if you are in a relationship, because one of the duties we have is to inform you if the hotel you're going to accepts couples from the same city. As long as you're an adult and you have an ID, a lot of hotels will. Some hotels won't. So it's important for us to let you know if it's okay to go there as a couple from the same city. It's also important for us to know if you want a third bed, for instance. So if it's 3-room booking, it's a 3-people booking. We need to know that stuff. And, you know, it's pretty simple. Traveling salesman, 1 person. Couple, 2 people, relationship mode on. Everyone else is a new use case, right?
Mm.
We did the math here. I think we added, at that time, the population equivalent to the population of KL as new use cases across the 2.5 years we run this.
Okay. And then did you get any national media coverage for the campaign?
Not really. To be honest, you know, it's a better in hindsight campaign because you tabulate results over a period of time. I wish it were a 3-month campaign in which we achieved all this, because you know what? You can go to town with it. A campaign that is slow burn like this, honestly, is not much supported, is it, in terms of recognition? I think we have a lot more recognition for a campaign we might have run for just like 15 days than we have for something like this. Now we're going to town with it a little bit. You know, the comms team is kicking in because, you know, they see the awards. I guess external validation helps with comms as well. And we're going out there and sort of speaking about it. But I think it's more to do with the fact that it's something that has happened over time.
So none of it's running anymore? You've turned it off?
No. We still bring it out. So we've released all of them. But at this point, I just think there's so much left in these films to just be released all over again. You know, it's a digital campaign. There's no reason I can't cut it down and put it on TV at the right time. It's going to be relevant.
Quickly run us through the scenarios. I know you talked about the couple fighting. There's also some actors who need space to act or to rehearse, right? What else?
The boys who go off to Bombay to make it big. Bombay is a film city. It's known for people who leave their homes, pretty much run away from home and go there to make it big. It's a thing. And obviously, you don't go there with a lot of money in your pocket. Now, if you start thinking about it, a couple of strugglers who don't have much money but can still afford a stay in an air-conditioned room while they try and crack roles or rehearse for them or whatever. It's hardcore utilitarian space and progress, isn't it? And it's totally not a hotel room. And that's what's brilliant about it, without saying any of it.
And what are 2 or 3 of the other scenarios?
There's a dad who wants an escape from his son who's into Metallica. I love that one. So the dad that's more into classical. And I think it must be summer break. In our heads, it's summer break. My daughter's just about to have a break, but she plays piano, which is lovely. My wife is listening to it, so I have to say that. Yeah, he's into Metallica and loves playing the guitar, and dad just gets him a room so he can do just that, while he can listen to the music he wants. Again, very spur of the moment, way next door. There's the boy. I love this one. The boy, again, it's very cultural, the Tambram boy. So Tamil Nadu is a state down south, and there's a community called the Tamil Nadu Brahmins who have a lot of pressure from their folks to study a lot, to do really well. And you find that in a couple of communities in India, Tambrams in particular. And I think that's a Tambram boy who's got a lot of pressure to crack it in his tests. And there's no way he's going to be doing it in a house which has a bunch of people and a pressure cooker going at most times, along with the classical music, which is a big deal in those households as well. So he hops over to the Oyo next door to study. There's the other ones. There's a couple of biker boys who get stuck in the rain because they just haven't checked the weather. That's fun. I feel there's gay undertones to it, which is good. It's very, very subtle. I quite like that. What else? The grandparents is a particular favorite. Again, this is a couple from the east of India. And again, they're extremely pedantic about the food. They're extremely particular about the food they have. Bengalis, this is Bengal. It's the state of West Bengal in the east of India. And they're great travelers. They're two great travelers in this country. There's the Gujus, which is Gujaratis. That's on the west coast, so to speak. And there's the Bengalis. And off they go. You know, they're intrepid travelers. But they love, they're extremely particular about their food. I think this one's about them deciding to go on a pilgrimage. But the old uncle over there is a little particular about the dal he's having. It's dal pulses, basically. He's missing his fish heads in there. They love fish. It's on the coast. So they're big fish eaters.
Mm.
There's a bunch of boys, the old boys, who are on a trip again. Those are the Gujju boys. And the youngest gets the smallest bed and has to do all the packing. There's tons of stories. I could go on. But there's the wife who's fighting with the husband. I love the husband. We made two films. And they're sort of connected, only no one knows it. So there's a wife who's fighting with her husband because the husband's always coming home drunk because he's out drinking with a guy called Jaggi. And then we made another film of the husband who's drunk and checking into a hotel so that he doesn't drive back, right? And he's calling his wife to let him know that he's at the hotel nearby, and he's blaming Jaggi for all the drinks he's had. There's a lot of stories. They're really, really... And this is a Punjabi wife, which is from the north, and there's just so many nuances here. And I think that's what people are really liking, if you ask. All the dots that join, and then the execution is just brilliant.
Final question. When you think back through the campaign, obviously you've been involved not only with thinking about making it and then writing the documents, the strategy, the brief for it, and then seeing it all happen and then writing the case studies and all of that sort of stuff. What's the main lesson for you? What do you personally take out of this time?
Two things. The whole product pricing, the 4Ps, everything that you read about and stuff, right? You can toss that pretty much in the bin, to be honest. You can take a product and reinvent it, which is what we've done, really. We've refused to go by the codes, in quotes, of hotel and hospitality selling, so to speak. And I think being in the startup consumer tech ecosystem helps because everything here is about disrupting something. And they don't mind it if you even disrupt their product. It's cool, as long as it leads to growth, as long as it leads to progress. Quoting that word again. That's one. And talk to your customers. Gosh, talk to the couple who's fighting. Find out why they're fighting. There's gold in there.
I love it. Maeda, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about Oyo. May this campaign keep winning awards. Where's the best place for people to find you if they'd like to look you up?
Gee, I mean, LinkedIn, Twitter, DM me on Instagram. I'm pretty easy to reach. Mail me on mayurholo@gmail.com. I'm easy.
There you go. Be careful what you ask for. You might get at least two emails now, two very long emails with people wanting you to solve their entire life. I'm joking. Thank you so much for joining me here on Sweater today. May you continue to do creative work while being client-side, brand-side. It's always very, very good to see. And I wish there were even more people doing that. Didn't mean to end like that. But hey, do creative stuff. Thank you for being here on Sweater today.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sweathead. If it's your first time here, please subscribe. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a friend or leave a kind rating. For more information about our strategy, classes, events, and books, visit www.sweathead.com. And yes, you can find us on Instagram at Sweathead.